The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, where are you keeping the Shabbos Project?
I'll be keeping the Shabbos Project in Modi'en, and in fact, we are baking pink chalot in honor of it being Breast Cancer Awareness Month and in keeping with the mitzvah of the Shabbos Project.
That's amazing. Well, are you going to send us pictures, please?
You know it.
Oh, exactly.
Listen, I'm putting a disclaimer on now.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot be held responsible for my lack of plaiting ability.
Ah, all right. So maybe you've got to say, no, well, you know, you're going to be very creative. That's it. It's the artistic side of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. You should see the scarf I knitted, Oy vey.
Anyway. All right. Let's talk about something a little bit unpleasant. I'm very worried about Syria. I see it as a tremendous vacuum being created. We can see Iran making all of the wrong noises about, moving closer to that area. Russia's trying to, get them to stay a little bit, further away. Golan residents on Friday were faced with rocket fire. I'm concerned.
I'm also concerned, as are people in the Golan Heights and that part of the country, because the worry is that should a civil war come to an end, which, you know, we ultimately hope it will do in Syria, will they turn their gunfire onto Israel? And this is the great worry. We also saw last week the Israeli Air Forces shooting down an anti-aircraft missile battery, which raised the ire of Iran, who said that if Israel does continue on that path, they will, you know, it was real saber-rattling language that they will respond as well. So our concern is Iran pushing, as you just said, to open up another front with Israel on the border with Syria. And early Saturday morning, 5 rockets were launched from Syria into Israel, hitting open areas and, thank goodness, causing no injuries or damage. And this, of course, prompted a strike from the IDF late in the day on 3 Syrian artillery batteries. And the IDF said, you know, whether these were errors or not, any future occurrences will force the IDF to intensify its response. And Eli Malka, who is the head of the Golan Regional Council, said he hopes that the clear response of the IDF will stop the shooting, but we are preparing for any potential escalation. Now, you will know, having been fervent listeners of the Israel Report on your afternoon with Howard Feldman, that a couple of months ago we spoke about mass drills taking place in the north of Israel should a conflagration break out of Hezbollah.
When was that? But that was about August, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't too long ago.
It wasn't that long
time
ago.
Time just flies.
Yeah.
Here that, you know, who can keep up? But, you know, since civil war broke out in Syria in 2011, we have really, really tried to remain neutral, except for humanitarian aid that we have been given to thousands of Syrians who have been wounded in the fighting. The big concern is that these were rockets that struck Israeli territory. There was no, these weren't mortars, these weren't artillery shells, these were actually rockets. So that is a big concern. Mm-hmm. And also the concern for us has been the number of weapons that have been trafficked from Iran through Syria en route to Hezbollah. That's also a major issue and one that we are watching very, very closely.
We've seen over the last couple of years since the start of the Syrian civil war, from time to time we've seen Israel carrying out attacks on what appeared to be the movement of weapons from Iran to Hezbollah in Syria. Do we have any sense of how successful those have been proportionately to what they've been trying to get to pass through in the area?
Well, I don't think that kind of information, short of those that have been destroyed, will be made public knowledge. Because I'm just as curious as you, but Hezbollah remains a major, major concern for the Israeli security establishment. And the worry is the possibility of Iran opening up or ensuring that we have conflagration on two fronts in the north.
Yeah, and again, what concerns me most is we've seen this pattern in the Middle East. Unfortunately, the minute a vacuum, a power vacuum, is created in an area, all the wrong people step forward and fill that vacuum. We've seen it over and over and over again, from Iraq to Libya, to all of these places, and with Syria being on Israel's border, I have to tell you, I am deeply concerned about this.
As are we, so we are watching with a very, very, very close eye. We've heard, you know, the saber rattling, the war talk coming from both Nasrallah, from the leader of Hezbollah, and from the leaders of the Revolutionary Guard and Defense Minister of Iran. So this is we're taking this extremely, extremely seriously.
How seriously do we take Hamas calling for Israel's destruction? That's kind of what they've always wanted, isn't it?
Well, this is what we've always been saying. We've been saying, you know, it doesn't matter that they are trying to change the text of the Hamas Charter to read, you know, Kumbaya, apple pie, kittens, and we all want to braid each other's hair and get along.
Maybe that who can teach you to braid your colors, I'm just saying.
Oh, it would explain a lot. but the reality is Hamas have not changed their intention. They've only tried to change their game plan. I think that they have every intention of trying to gain more international legitimacy because they are seen as a terror organization. But we did hear the United Nations Special Coordinator for the Middle East Peace Process. That is a very long title to put on a business card. His name is Nikolai Miladinov, and he actually said to Hamas that they should be concentrating on resolving the humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip. That's where they should be focusing their efforts. And he says, I condemn the latest statements made by some Hamas leaders reportedly calling for the destruction of the State of Israel. They do not serve the interest of peace and the goal of achieving a negotiated two-state solution, and that under the auspices of Egypt, Palestinian leaders have embarked on a course to solve the grave humanitarian crisis in Gaza and enable the government to take up its responsibilities in the Strip, and I encourage them not to be distracted from this objective. But in his language, he didn't blame Israel for any humanitarian issues in the Strip, which is also a pleasant departure that we have seen from the international community. But yes, he says that because one of the conditions that Israel has set forth before we recognize any kind of unity government is that we want recognition. And I don't think that we're going to get that from Hamas anytime soon.
The incredible thing is that the rest of the world is still surprised, because sometimes they buy their own marketing and they buy their own drivel that they read in that they read and print in the media, and an organization, a terrorist organization like Hamas, just honestly can't help itself. There's an exclusive with I-24 that a Saudi prince has agreed with Trump's stance on Iran. This is very interesting to me.
Yeah, I think that relations between the Saudis and the U.S. are definitely warming up, and Saudi Prince Turki bin Faisal Al Saud, also that's quite a mouthful, he actually conveyed his kingdom's approval and support for U.S. President Donald Trump's approach towards Iran, and he says that King Salman issued a statement after Mr. Trump's speech on the Iranian nuclear deal, in which he said he agreed with the principles that were presented by President Trump, not only on the potential danger of Iran developing nuclear weapons, but also, and he uses the terminology, Iran's adventurous policies and interventionist policies in Arab countries, and this is where we have to challenge Iran, he says. And we have seen that on the increase in the last couple of months with the intervention into Qatar. And to me, it's absolutely no coincidence that Al Jazeera, who is responsible for some of the grossest incitement against the state of Israel, and has been known or has been recognized as a propaganda tool by Qatar, and Qatar's relations with Iran warming up. To me, you know, these kind of things are no coincidence. And the freezing or the breaking down of diplomatic ties between Qatar and other Gulf states, to me, speaks volumes. So it looks like the alliances are being formed against Iran.
Yeah, well, let's hope that has some success. Finally, in a conversation that I'm going to try and have with our listeners a little bit later as well, in an Orwellian universe, who has named Mugabe the Goodwill, a Goodwill Ambassador? The World Health Organization has named Robert Mugabe a Goodwill Ambassador. Thankfully, they then rescinded it. But what were they thinking?
Well, you know, I posted this on my Facebook page when the news broke, and people were posting comments like, is this a skit for Saturday Night Live? And April the 1st is coming on. Look, I do take objections to that because my birthday is on April the 1st,
exactly.
And honey,
that's
I ain't
just
no
rude.
Joke.
Exactly. Nothing funny
no
about
fool.
You, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But here is a man who's 5,023 years old, and somebody remarked, you know, maybe those are the criteria that you have to be, you know, over a certain age and prove your prove your health status.
And it's incredible that the man leaves Zimbabwe to go for medical treatment around the world in Singapore and all sorts of places, and yet the World Health Organization has named him or did name him as a Goodwill Ambassador. It's absurd. His country, the people in the country have so little access to any medical care. They barely even can get a fruit or vegetable. It's absolutely appalling. How disconnected is the World Health Organization from the people that they're meant to represent?
Well, this is another arm of the United Nations, and I think that we are seeing, you know, something quite bizarre in their appointments. Last week, you and I spoke about the appointments to the Human Rights Council, and perhaps we need to start a petition on that as well. But the Secretary General, the Director General, Tedros Adhanom, he actually released a statement. He tweeted it out, and he said that over the last few days, I've reflected on my appointment of His Excellency President Robert Mugabe as a World Health Organization Goodwill Ambassador for NCDs in Africa, and as a result, I have decided to rescind the appointment. And even the former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations heavily criticized this appointment. She said, this is somebody who is responsible for ethnic cleansing. This is somebody who has denied the citizens of his country their inalienable right, and here we are about to give this man this kind of honor. So at long last they seem to listen to people who signed a global petition asking for this position to be rescinded.
I was actually surprised that it happened. Unsigned is saying it was payback. I'm not sure if it was payback for what. And Nikki's saying maybe who stands for the world's horriblest ogre. So that's,
well, there you have it.
Out of the
mouth of the very wise and fabulous Nikki.
All right, and there we leave it, from the fabulous Nikki to the fabulous Rolene. It's 5:24. That was your Israel Report, brought to you each day by the Blue Agency. Rolene Marks, we'll chat to you tomorrow.